Association. We strongly repudiate the conclusions of the zoning confirmation. In the Oregonian on August 16th, Mayor Hales, you said in a statement, the use of tents on city property, including sidewalks, remains prohibited under the structure's code. That statement is true then, and it is true now. With the approval of this zoning confirmation, unregulated camping will be legalized in all commercial, employment, and industrial zones of the city. Every commercial street in the city, Mississippi, Alberta, Hawthorne, 23rd Avenue, to name some, every industrial sanctuary in Portland, the entire central city falls into these categories. The zoning confirmation states no permits or design review will be necessary for any camp. If we collectively look into the future, with approval of this confirmation, there will be many more camps throughout the city and no recourse for the city, any neighborhood or business, any individual to do anything about them. The purpose of the codes is to create certainty and safety for all of its citizens. If this confirmation is approved today, the fabric of those codes will be undermined for everyone. We believe that City Council is approaching this issue with the best of intentions. Our neighborhood embodies these intentions of a mixed-income city that it supports all of its neighbors. As I like to say, just because someone lives in a new building, it does not mean they are rich. Despite public perception, the average income in the Pearl District is $12,000 less than the citywide average. 22% of our Pearl District neighbors are categorized as low income currently, and there are at least two more low-income buildings that are on the books and are coming. We have advocated for all of those buildings. The Pearl District Neighborhood Association advocated for all of those. Just like City Council, we would also like to have a workable solution for the endemic homeless problem. There is a process for doing that, and that needs to happen. Portland is supposed to work in partnership, not in strife. We are supposed to openly engage with each other to make a better city. Hasty solutions that consciously avoid engaging citizens do not meet any standard of public process in this city. Solutions that needlessly create problems for a much wider swath of the problem are not solutions. We urge the city to search for a workable solution for this immediate issue, as what is on the table does not fit the definition. Please do not approve this zoning confirmation request. Please consider moving Right to Dream into a building temporarily and build them a building that meets the codes. Build them a building. Organize a citywide discussion to come up with real long-term solutions to the larger problem. We have an opportunity as a city to be a leader on this issue that will serve to continue the inclusive Portland tradition of innovative solutions, and we urge you to do so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tiffany Schweitzer, Hoyt Street Properties. Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. I brought these pictures today that are in front of you to show you what we have accomplished together, and I bolded accomplished together. And also what I think all of us, and I know many of us that I've toured the neighborhood, are proud to show others who visit the city of Portland. In 1997, Hoyt Street Properties signed a development agreement with the city of Portland for its 34-acre site. That's picture number one. You can see the property, what it looked like when we first purchased it. It was an old rail yard and nothing that we see today. The development agreement, which took us 2 years to put together, stated that we must work together, public and private, to take a brownfield site, again, picture number one, and develop it into a thriving new neighborhood. This was the first real legal agreement in the city of Portland, and it was built on obligations from both parties, public and private. As a result of this agreement, we collectively built one of the most successful neighborhoods in the country. You can see that in pictures two and three. And Hoyt Street Properties, the primary developer of this 34 acres, followed its obligations to this agreement all along the way. Since 1997, I have built 11 projects or 2,000 housing units. I have not applied a dollar figure to this significant investment. The development agreement required us to allocate 30% towards affordable housing within Hoyt Street Properties property alone. Again, picture number one, outlined in blue. But we did better than that. 34% of those 2,000 housing units meet the city's affordable housing goals. This density, with a mix of housing, 5 acres of parks, and Portland Streetcar, were built by a process that we both, public and private, followed. We have 8 more blocks to build to complete this neighborhood. That's picture number 4. You can see those in red are what we've done to date. HSP's Hoyt Street Properties biggest financial partner, Mr. Joe Weston, has already relayed his thoughts via a written letter to all of you about moving forward pending the outcome of today's hearing. That's pretty significant for the north part of this neighborhood. Hoyt Street Properties is also a party to the second development agreement. That's the site that we are discussing today. Again, we have followed the rules and the process along the way for this site. Mr. Mayor and Commissioners, I ask that you follow the same rules that you have asked me to follow over these past 16 years. Communication, process, and thinking outside the box are what we all do best. So, please, I ask you today, take the time now, delay a vote, and use the issue of homelessness as an opportunity to do something meaningful for this group and others that will follow. I ask that the city be our trusted partner today. With both public and private at the table, we can find a better solution. Thank you.
Thank you. Afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is John Nickel. I live in Canton. I and my wife live in Canton in North Portland. We, in about a month, will endure a foreclosure eviction, and we will be out. And fortunately, we have the eternal remodeling project next door, which we own, and we have a place which is dry and where we can live. So we are not going to be creatively living on the streets of Portland. We're going to have a roof over our heads. What I have to say is mostly anecdotal, but to a point. How are we doing here?
You're fine. So, go ahead.
Okay. When we bought our first house, it was quite a wreck, and it was an 8-month remodeling job, and I took half the house to the dump. In the first 2 weeks of that project, half of my tools were stolen out of the house, and I talked with a homeless person who would come to listen to rehearsals of Cantores and Ecclesia, and invited him to move into the house. And he did, and we had no further problems. Oh, well, we did have a problem when he reported that some neighbors of ours were abusing their animals. But we didn't have any problems with him. This past summer, we heard about a woman who was living in her car or in her vehicle, and some hateful person was breaking the windows of people living in their vehicles. So we invited her to come out and talk with us, and we moved her onto a foreclosed property. Not into the house, but into the driveway of it, where she would be safe with her vehicle. We introduced her to all the neighbors. This ended up being a very good thing for everybody. People got their plumbing fixed by her. She would play music with other neighbors, and so we heard the sounds of guitars and singing coming from the porches of the neighborhood.
So I need you to
this is a different way of looking at people than what I've been hearing here today. What if the people of the Pearl actually made personal relationships with the people in the in this camp. What if the people in the camp helped people carry groceries? Really, the only objection that I see to this camp is aesthetic. But then I have a rather high standard. I compare them to the nomadic cultures of the Lakota and those marvelous teepees and the Mongols and their yurts and the color of and beauty of Persian nomadic rugs. So maybe the aesthetics could be worked on a bit. But as far as R2-D2 is concerned, they've done a marvelous job of governing themselves, and they should be applauded and rewarded and assisted in unconventional ways. You're going to, yes, this lady has asked us to do. Let us think outside the box.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
The next four are J.J. Bailey, Christopher Hanford, Scott Rice, and Laura Fenn. And they will be followed by Ed Tonkin, Wendy, I cannot read the last name, I think it's Brown, on Northwest Broadway, Joe Walsh, and Irene Aziz. So now should be J.J. Bailey, Christopher Hanford, Scott Rice, and Laura Fenn. Let's go with Ed Tonkin then.
Sure. Go ahead. We'll wait and see who else we can call up.
I'm living in Portland right now. We got about five different directions to go in. First, start with the safety, though. I observed Right to Dream 2 last year for 6 months, from April to October of last summer, not this one, last summer. And in that time, I saw an ambulance have to be called only 3 times in 6 months, police, not at all. Fire trucks showed up one of the 3 times with the ambulance, was not needed on the site. And in comparison, up the street 3 blocks, the formal shelter, Portland Rescue Mission, had a lot of times an ambulance and a cop car there every day, if at least one or the other every day, sometimes 3 or 4 times a day. Whatever it is that Right to Dream 2 does, it seems to be working. We've got all these plans designed to fix problems in a perfect world, but this world has slowly become imperfect in a lot of ways. We've proven that all over this country in different ways. Everything, look at the government right now. We're having to shut it down. That's not the way it's designed. Sometimes maybe you have to come up with an imperfect plan to fix it as well. It doesn't make any sense, but seems to be working. They also have spent a lot of time, 2 years now, sticking it out, being humble, being straight to the point, not changing direction, just chug, 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 chug. No matter what hits them, they don't. They just keep chug, chug, chug. This is good character. Okay. I think they deserve a reward for this. The new site, it's not bad. But also, I think there should be plans made to either put modulars there. So you talk about the bird poop. You talk about the trains. Modulars, you can get those. You can get grants to get those probably. I've heard about things like that. Or rebuild old modulars, something. And then also, keep the door open to try and help them find even a better site in a building. People do cohabitate in buildings. It helps make for a stronger person. Okay, the tents are neat. They have good purpose, though. It's a stepping stone. You put somebody that's out on the streets for a good amount of time into a nice apartment, the first couple of weeks, they're okay with it. Then all of a sudden, the culture shock starts to hit. And before long, it just eats them from the inside out, and they just end up back in the streets. You need to kind of graduate them into, slowly but surely. It took them that long to go down this road back. It's going to take them a little while to get back. Can't just throw them in something. Culture shock will just freak a person out. Okay, just like you. If I put you, Mr. Mayor, inside the shelter, if you stayed at Portland Rescue Mission tonight, I think you wouldn't sleep too good.
Okay. Thank you. No, thanks very much. Appreciate you coming. Thank you. Okay.
Good afternoon. My name is Christopher Hanford. I'm the owner of Davis Shoe Tavern at Northwest 5th and Davis. Also in Jameson Restaurant, which is on Jameson Square Park in the Pearl. I also sit on the board of the Pearl District Business Association. 8 years ago, I had a dream as well. I had the dreams of opening a restaurant, and I came to, and opened up a restaurant in December of 2008 at the bottom of the recession, right in Old Town. And I got to see firsthand the effects of homelessness. And during that time, we embraced a lot of changes. We embraced Buttercloth Commons. We embraced the change of the Burger King turning into a Central City Concern. We embraced Satyricon being torn down and McDonald's Center going up. The one thing that the neighborhood did not embrace was the Right to Dream camp. When that camp reached capacity, it just brought a lot of people to the streets. I know that's my feeling, and it's the feeling of a lot of the other business owners. If I put my Davis Street Tavern hat on, I'm actually thankful that the camp is moving. It's nothing against homelessness. We've done our part to raise money for homelessness. I reached out to Central City Concern to try to offer jobs for dishwashers. We do charity events to raise happy hour events for the different groups. So we've done our part to kind of embrace all the different homeless solutions in Old Town. Unfortunately, this camp is not going to be warmly embraced by the business community and the residences in the Pearl. And at the same time, if you want to talk about a balance between livability and acceptability, this is not a solution that's going to work. The camp in its form needs to be something that it's going to work for everybody. And my fear is that the businesses will suffer. I will go on record that at the top of my business, we opened up in the bottom of 2008. Our business generated almost $2 million in revenue a year. I had over 40 employees. And as on October 2011, it was pretty much a financial cliff for us. I know Kurt Huffman as well can testify to this, and his business did not survive. I know that at the end of the day, you need the business community, residences, and the homeless solution to all coexist, and there needs to be formats, and there needs to be process. And at the end of the day, the Pearl District has embraced low-income housing, like the SICA and the Pearl Court, but unfortunately in this format, it's not going to work in the long term. It's going to hurt everybody involved. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
My name is Scott Rice. I live in Southwest Portland. I'm a business owner, and I'm here to speak on behalf of Right to Dream. I think that by their record and who they are and what they serve to their own, to the community of people that stay there every night, they qualify on that grounds as a community center. Never mind what the zoning laws, I can't talk to that, I'm not a lawyer. But they are serving a community as a community center, so I wholeheartedly agree with that justification. I've heard many people from the Pearl speaking here, some very high-profile attorneys with clients who have a lot of influence in this city. And as a business owner, I agree with some of what they say. But I would challenge them. People are going to sleep on the streets tonight, and it's going to get cold, and it's going to get rainier and colder, and people will be out all winter long. This is an immediate problem. It is not something that for those individuals can wait for a long, long, long process. These powerful people in the Pearl and other places, the developers in this city, if they, Mr. Close had an interesting suggestion. Take the money that they probably have allocated now to sue over this. Try to come up with a better solution within 1 year. Make this camp temporary by making no need for this camp. Thank you.
Thank you.
Was there Laura Fenn? Are you here, Laura? Okay, the next four are Ed Tonkin, Wendy, and again, I can't read the last name, on Northwest Broadway, Joe Walsh, and Irfan Aziz. Let's go with Ron, no last name given. And then I have Ronald Albright, Beth Bodmer, Taz. Okay, he's upstairs. Okay, I think a lot of them are upstairs. And I'll just call a few more names. So if you're upstairs or in the other room, please come on in, down. Donald Young, Dyke Dame, Homer Williams.
All right, well, let's see if some of them make it into the room. And Joe, in the meantime, go ahead.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. Last night, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I had to go to the bathroom. My bathroom is 5 feet away from my bedroom. On the way, I wondered what it would be like if the bathroom was 2 miles away at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning. I was safe. My wife was safe, my dog was safe, and I wondered what it would be like. The people in R2-D2 have created a community. They've been here for 2 years. All of the fears that you heard today are irrelevant with this group. They are the most conservative, easy group to get along with on this earth. Their rules are so strict, I don't know if I could live there. No drinking, no drugs, no loud music, no yelling. That would get to me.
Mr. Walsh, I just have to say that I don't know that's a high bar because you are a known troublemaker.
And I wear it proudly. I wear that label proudly. All of the people in Pearl that testified out of fear. I understand that. Some of my friends are on the other side of this issue. And this is not the solution to our homeless problem. We all know that. This is a baby step. That's what's happening here. You're taking 75 people from one place and moving them to the other place. It's not even affecting the 2,000 people we have on our streets every night, or 7,000, or whatever the number is. It doesn't affect them. It's a baby step, and I applaud you, all three of you. And you know that I take you on, and I yell at you all the time. I applaud you for doing this, taking the risk, because you're going to pay a price for this. And I'll stand with you as much as I can. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job.
Good afternoon.
My name is Dyke Dame. I'm president of Williams and Dame Development. It's hard to be here today to discuss an issue as big and important as homelessness through the tiny lens of a land use action. This is not the way to make important policy choices. We have a problem with homelessness. There's no question about that. We need a solution. No question about that. You have cut short, though, an ability to use resources. Homer is going to talk about what we would propose to you. You're eliminating the use of our brains. You're eliminating the use of our resources by cramming this deal down our throats and not using a regular process. Over the course of many years and as a result of many meetings, in 2001, the City Council approved the Pearl District Development Plan. Part of that plan contained specific requirements for affordable housing. It did not allow for tent camping under the Broadway Bridge. Since the adoption of the Pearl District Development Plan, millions of dollars have been invested in the Pearl District, including the development of 4 affordable housing projects within a few blocks of the Broadway Bridge. The latest data shows 34% of the Pearl is affordable housing. I signed a development agreement with PDC to build a hotel a block away from Lot 7. That development agreement is a legal contract. More importantly, it's a partnership between my company and this city. Our end of the bargain was to buy the land and invest nearly $50 million in building the hotel. We're under construction and expect to open next spring. PDC's end of the bargain was to provide 100 spaces in the Station Place garage, which we pay for the hotel, and promised that the uses in the area would remain as shown on the site plan attached to the development agreement, the contract. Those uses show parking, not a tent camp, on Lot 7. We were never consulted about converting Lot 7 to a tent camp. That does violate the DA. I want to make one thing crystal clear. We would never have agreed to invest $50 million in the hotel if the site plan showed a tent camp across the street. Does anybody question that? So put away the legal issues under the DA. How do you want to do business in the city of Portland? Do you want to attract investment to the downtown and leave your present and future partners with the uncertainty of a bait and switch? If you choose the latter, you're choosing a course of disinvestment, distrust, and uncertainty that will seriously impact the livability of our great community. You're truly on the precipice of a very bad decision. The city's failure to honor its agreement will harm further the development projects, future investment in other previously dilapidated areas. Simply won't happen if we cannot rely on the city's word. We've got a deal. We're partners. We're living up to our end of it. You need to live up to your end of it. Thank you.
Homer Williams, I'm the chairman of Williams and Dame. We need some time. We need to pause this conversation. You know, it's really spun out of control. We need the city to work together with its resources. We need to find a better solution. We're here to offer that assistance. We've done a lot of great things together. I mean, over the last 15 years, I mean, it's, you know, the city really, because of the ability, the private and the public sector to work together, that's what's really what's driven this city. We need to do this again. We need, right now, to step back. We need to reengage. We're committed with at least 10 other businesses, social services, financial professionals, whoever you guys can get to the table. And let's take 30 days and let's really look at this and let's look at solutions and longer term solutions. And let's bring private resources and public resources together for this. If we need to meet every day, we will. We're willing to commit resources from our businesses. We've got people from Zeba, Bora, ourselves, Hoyt Street. We want to engage nonprofits. We want to get people who are working on the homeless, R2D2. Let's get together and let's really try to sort something out here. You don't have anything to lose with this offer. You can come back in 30 days. We don't need to vote today. We need to take some time. And that's what I'm asking, is let's have some time and let's work together. And I mean work intently together.
Thank you.
I'll wait for your answer.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Before I move on, I skipped over Ed. You're in the room. Ed Tonkin, Wendy on Northwest Broadway, Irfam Aziz. Are any of you down here? Okay, then next we'll go with Ron, Ronald Albright, Beth Bodmer, Taz, Donald Young. Oh, looks like we've got enough. And I'm next up will be Janice Lotz, Jim Wittenberg, Tom Foster, and Jonathan Trebar.
Hey, welcome. Go ahead. You can be first.
Well, good afternoon.
Just get the microphone a little closer to you there.
Good afternoon, Commissioner and Fritz. I'm going to say thank you for what you have done for us and really, you know, taking your time out and vote for you to see what we are all about.
Just put your name into the record, too.
Well, Taz, my name. Sorry about that. Remember RTG2. You came in time. You got to hear my message first time when I asked you to come out and check and see what we're all about. And you did that. And it's up that we need to keep going, you know, to protect these people out here. It's going good. And I'm proud for what, because when I came to RTD2, I didn't have no hope. I didn't have thinking, you know, I was going down to the wrong end of the road. You know, I had a drug addiction problem. Didn't give it up because I didn't have no more sources to go. Wouldn't be able to hold down the job. Since I've been at RTD2, everything's changed. I've gotten a job. I'm one of the only persons who has gotten a job and has been able to maintain a job because I got my 12 hours of rest and be able to support, show the people what we need. Going to the Pearl District is going to be an opportunity to a new growth and work with people there. I'm looking forward to show that we are a model, and RTG2 will do what they have to do to help and support the love that community there. And same with you, Mrs. Fritz. We're backing you up 100%. Same with you, Charlie. We're going to back you guys up because you guys backing us up, giving us the opportunity to show that we could do things on our own. And we're just as a human being as anyone else can do it. Because what we can't do alone together, we could do as together. And we could make us positive and protect us safe over there like we did on 4th and Burnside. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Hello, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. My name is Ronald Albright. I first moved to downtown Portland in 1996. I bought my home in the Pearl District in 1998, over 15 years ago. Portland has a terrible homeless problem, a problem that is not conducive to a vibrant urban core. This problem confronts downtown residents and visitors every time we walk to a grocery store, restaurant, or other local business. There may be no simple solution to this problem, but the solution is certainly not upgrading an illegal homeless camp to a city-mandated homeless camp. It seems that the negotiations that took place with the landowner to settle a pending lawsuit and the preparation for testimony by city experts this afternoon have the predetermined goal of approving the establishment of this city-mandated homeless camp. I thought the Occupy Portland movement was disruptive and destructive, but I am appalled to see how far Amanda Fritz's Capitulate Portland movement has gone. I sincerely hope that this city council moves forward on this issue under the full light of democracy and community input rather than operating in the shadows as it has done to this point.
Thank you. Thanks. Hi, welcome.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Bodmer, and I'm actually speaking on behalf of the two ladies behind me, Carolyn and Kendall.
Hi, ladies. Welcome.
And this is a speech that they have written that I will be reading. And I'm going to try not to get emotional during it. It's an honor to be here. We love Right to Dream, and that is why we're up here today. It started with a lemonade stand that we had to raise money. We raised $162. I believe that Right to Dream 2 should be in this neighborhood. They're just like us, but without homes. There is no reason to fight them about this. Why are you fighting them? Right to Dream is a good cause. It's a good thing, not a bad thing. That's it. Thank you, guys.
Well, is this working?
Yes.
Great. My name is Donald Young. I live at 725 Northwest 10th Avenue, and that's a difficult speech to follow. And some would like to paint this as rich against the poor or whatever, but for me, it's not about being against the homelessness. It's not about being against the Right to Dream. In fact, I commend the Right to Dream organization for their self-governance approach and their responsible principles. They're doing the best they can in a bad situation. This situation is about bad campground policy. The homeless deserve better than that. They deserve a building. And with all due respect to those wanting to rename the concept of what's really happening to get around the regulations, when I see a duck, and when I see a bird, and it swims like a duck, it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, I call it a duck. This is a campground. And the whole notion of moving the problem from one neighborhood to another, trading one lawsuit for multiple new lawsuits, is kicking the can down the road. It's as simple as that. It's not addressing the problem, and ironically, at first the city is fining the landowners for establishing a campground. Now the proposal is to be the host of the campground. What's wrong with that picture? I've camped out in the rain. It's cold and wet from the top to the bottom. It's a cruelty to think that that's a solution for the homelessness in Portland. This is Portland. It's not Florida. It rains a lot in Portland, so it's not a solution. Further, the precedent, as I've already been mentioned by a number of people, will create unintended consequences. And I would suggest postponing any vote on this subject. It's not ready for prime time. This is not a good solution. The homeless deserve better than that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Thanks you all.
The next one. Was there a Ron? No address, no name, last name? Okay, then the next four are Janice Lotz, Jim Wittenberg, Tom Foster, and Jonathan Treber. And next up after them will be Jason Barber, Willow, Brad Gibson, Amber Dunks, Carrie White, Chris Meisner, Aaron A.
All right, well, we're waiting for them. Please go ahead. You will be. Just a second.
Okay.
There you
All
are.
Right. There we go. Mr. Mayor, commissioners, thanks for allowing the public to speak. I was shocked that this all came up quite so suddenly, and I sure would like to see some brakes put on the line. But what I have to say to you is something.
Say your name again. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Janice Oates, O-A-T-E-S. Okay. I apologize. What I have to say really comes from my heart. I've heard of people who've lived here all their lives, 28 years, whatever. My husband and I moved to the Pearl District 4.5 years ago from Southern California. And one of the reasons was we fell in love with Portland, with its diversity, with all the mixture of everyone and every type of politics. And we fell in love with the Pearl. I love the story of how it was kind of like the rising phoenix, if you will. We've loved our time here. I cannot tell you how many business people I've spoken to, because I traveled a lot on business until just recently, how people from Canada, Scandinavia, were coming to examine what you all did when you made the development plans with Hoyt and with everyone else to have the planned community and what you've managed to accomplish in the Pearl. And they find it absolutely astounding and plan to take it back and mirror those same things in their own countries and in their own cities, because it's been such a phenomenal success. I firmly believe that if this camp is to go through, you will see a significant loss of business, of revenues, and of people choosing to live in that particular area. It seems a shame to me. You've got three brand new gorgeous parks up by the Encore. It just is, I will talk quick. It just seems a shame to me because I can see if this camp is allowed, and it seems to me that there might be some legal discussions on whether that's true or not, that you guys ought to rethink this a little bit, because I would hate to see the Pearl 15 years from now, what it looked like before you all made such a conceived and good plan to make the Pearl such a successful star in Portland's crown. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Hi.
Hi, my name is Jonathan Schriever. I am also a resident and also a volunteer over at R2D2. It's come to my attention that R2D2 is helping out a lot of people out on the streets, and there are some city officials that have been coming around who dislike the fact that it is there, period. It may be, I've heard city officials say it is an eyesore. I've heard people say that it is a disgrace in the neighborhood, how it brings down property values. It might bring the wrong kind of people to the streets also around it. But the Right to Dream 2 creates home for people who do not have services such as Janus Youth. Janus Youth only allows certain age from, I think, 17 to, let's say, 22 or 23. There's only some services out there that are only made for certain people, and there's not enough services for the older generation, as well as others who have certain rules. Like Janus has rules as of age, if they are a runaway or if they have a warrant out for their arrest, as well as many others. Also, those who have been chronically ill or pregnant or on low forms of income, as well as SSI or disability, or can barely afford to take care of themselves, much less afford a child and a home. Right to Dream 2 help people, such as myself, my fiance, because I have a child coming in 2 months. It helps us when we are not able to have money to put a roof over our head. We need help to take care of our child and a decent home to raise it. Right to Dream 2 does not discriminate whether you are a certain age, whether you are race, gender, religion. They do not. They welcome all. Yes, they have certain rules. They have rules put in place so that it can be maintained and under control, so it's not out of control. They welcome all who do not have a home to go to at night, and also provide shelter against the coming winter in Portland's untellable weather. You know, I've lived here for about 5 years, and I've been homeless for almost 2 years now, and I've pretty much had enough of the weather too. they provide a chance for the people who stay there to volunteer there at R2D2 to help cook, clean, be security, to help give them work ethic. To help them give them something to do during the day, give them something that they can look forward to do, something that they feel good at, they're giving something out to the community.
I'll get you to wrap up soon.
Sorry. Basically what I'm saying is our duty should be stayed there. Everyone's worried. All I've been hearing about from all these other people is the money. Everyone wants more money, or they want to build more businesses to make money. In my own opinion, you know, if you did not build a MAX line going all the way to Milwaukee, you would have more money to build more homeless shelters. We already have buses going out to Milwaukee. We already have transportation out there. We don't need a MAX line. But I want to thank you to all the helpers and workers, as well as the racks in the shelter, Taz, Roy, his girl, Ibrahim, MacD, and Carrie, and many others. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks. Good luck.
Mayor and commissioners.
I want to speak to you.
Just put your name in the record for us.
Chip Wittenberg, 975 Southeast Sandy. I want to speak to you because we have misconceptions about people. I come from a wealthy family. All of them are very, very wealthy people. You're no poor Wittenbergs. I went to school and became a pharmacist, and I practiced for 43 years. But I also had hard times in my life. After I did the initiative, which was going to lower the property taxes in Oregon, and 1978. I couldn't get a job. I could not get a job in the States, so I moved to Washington. And believe me, it was difficult up there. I got a job making phone calls while my license reciprocated. But I also lived in the shelter up there, the homeless shelter. I lived there for almost 6 months before I had enough money and I found a place to live. I've also lived in the Eugene shelter. I spent a month down there. I spent about 10 days in the Salem shelter. And all these cities seem like they have places to take care of people except Portland. And I don't understand it. I don't understand it. In 1988, I went to Washington, D.C. with Michael Stoops and Mitch Snyder. They made a movie about him, if you remember the movie. Negotiated, I believe, with Reagan at that time, and they passed a bill that said that all vacant buildings are open for people to move into. That was passed in 1988, the U.S. Congress, and it was signed into law. I don't know what's happened, but there's got to be some empty federal buildings or state buildings or local buildings in this town for these people to be in. I don't want to live under a bridge with pigeon droppings and exhaust fumes. And I don't want that on my long-term resume either. I want to live inside a building. I want to keep the rain off. And believe me, these people are real people. They're not pawns. I could be one. I could be living down there with them right now too. 10 years ago, I was living in a shelter. Today, I'm not, because of Social Security. That's the only reason. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks.
Was there Tom Foster? Then we'll go with Jason Barber, Willow, Brad Gibson, and Amber Dunks. Okay, let's go ahead with Carrie White, Chris Meisner.
Go ahead while they're coming up.
My name is Jason Barber. Good afternoon, Councilman. A lot of people are speaking of the safety of the homeless. I currently reside underneath the Morrison Bridge. I'm a part of the you walked through the other day. Monday, six of us were maced. Tuesday, again, we were woken up by the whoever the officers are. They speak of safety. There is nowhere safe for us homeless. We've been chased from your front sidewalk to the next park to now we're under a bridge. Now you want to move us from under a bridge to under another bridge? I don't care where you move me to, as long as I can put up a structure to get out of the rain. That's all that matters to me. I'm tired of being homeless. To me, a tent is a home. It's somewhere I can be dry. Now, I don't have that. I'm on a list to get into, but there always seems to be quite the list. I look forward to 100 people. There's only 15 of us under the bridge, but there are 15 of us, and we have nowhere to go, nowhere to set up a tent to be dry. I hope this works.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Hi, my name is Willow Cesaria. Last month, I just want to say a second about me. Last month, I was actively a mother and a nana, and I had dreams about playing with horses with my four-year-old granddaughter and cooking dinner and things like that. And less than 20 days ago, I became homeless. In 13 days, I was attacked twice because I'm a single female. I've just got out of the hospital because I can't take the attacks anymore. R2-D2 has offered me a place that's not next to a restaurant that's abandoned on the sidewalk. They've offered me a tent and a sleeping bag. And let me tell you what that means to me. That means home. That means four walls. I don't care if they're vinyl. And a roof. It keeps me out of the rain. But mostly, nobody harms me, wants to harm me, because there's security. Those people are up 24 hours a day to watch people like me that keep getting hurt. And let me tell you something else. Female, male, old, young, it doesn't matter. Nobody's safe on these streets. Nobody's safe anywhere on the street. What R2D2 is a community of compassion. And all I hear today from both sides, and I love to play the devil's advocate, is hearts against wallets, and hearts against status, and hearts against, and love against, and compassion against old money, new money. Safety and security, it does not reside in your pockets, in your pocketbooks. It resides in numbers, and in family, and in community. And I am without my family now. And the only family I have right now live in tents, and thank God for them. I don't care if we live under a bridge with 75 more people or 100 more people. That's 100 more people to watch out for people like me. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Amber Dunks. I'm the board secretary for Right to Dream 2. First of all, I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for working so hard and so tirelessly with us to come to the solution that we have. And I also want to thank Mayor Hales for going out into the community and speaking with people to get a better understanding of the houseless issue, especially my husband, who will be up here later. That's all he's been able to talk about for the last 2 days. At Right to Dream 2, we've had 71 people find jobs, 76 people find permanent housing. You'll hear a lot of stories here today. You'll hear some of our success stories are also here. We were able to get some of them to come today, including my sister and my godson. And all we really are is people helping people. There really shouldn't even be this label with houseless versus housed. We all have the same hopes and dreams. The people that are housed, just like the people that are houseless, hope that they will be able to have that stability. And if they don't have it, get that stability. If they still have it, hopefully keep it. You know, everyone wants the white picket fence and the dog and whatnot, and they just want to be happy, and that's all the houseless community really wants. They want, and they don't really want a handout. They want to be able to do for themselves. So what I would suggest to the business owners that say that they will give this and give that, what we would really like is if you would give jobs so we can help ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
My name is Brad Gibson. I'm the chair, vice chair of Right to Dream 2. And our place is not, well, are we having the same?
Yeah, no, if you could sit back a little bit. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. There is a certain section of the homeless party that is like career homeless, and they are, you know, they do cause problems, but we're not there with their target or their demographic. We like to have those that aspire for more than you know, and that those are our concerns. People who want to come out and they need a place. Okay, in order to get housing, you have to be rested or fill out forms, look nice, so that you can be accepted. So that you can get on those housing lists, or you need to find a job. You need to have, okay, sleep deprivation is, you know, I mean, the FBI uses it for, I mean, you know, deterrence of assailants. It really rattles your brain. And after 3 nights of sleep, out in the rain, getting pushed along, this is what this is for. And it really needs to do. And we really thank you guys for putting this in your heart and taking heed to the need. like I said, I've heard things, you know, they care more about cars and parking than they do about the human lives. I mean, that's really appalling. And like I said, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. We're going to take four more, and then we do need to take a one-hour break. A couple of us have an event in between, and we'll be back here at 6. So we'll take four more people, and then we'll take a pause.
We've got Carrie White, Chris Meisner, Aaron A., and Roy Pasco.
Welcome. Okay, you're missing one, but we'll take these three then. Is he upstairs? Okay, come on down if you are. Go ahead, please. Welcome.
Mayor, City Council members, good afternoon. My name is Carrie White. As you know, where we're located now used to be an adult bookstore. Drug addicts, prostitutes, riffraff used to hang out there every day, all day. Since we moved onto the property, we no longer have that. We've cleaned the area up. Pearl District is worried about the same thing happening when we move in. I'm here to tell you it's not going to happen because we clean the area up on 4th and Burnside. We're going to clean it up in Pearl District. They're worried about us vandalizing their homes, their cars, themselves. That ain't going to happen. Because we police ourselves, we police the neighborhood. When our neighbor had a broken window, we helped him put a new one in. For that, he brought us out hot soup during the wintertime. So we had something hot to eat. We do not allow drug addicts, alcoholics, prostitution, or any of that to go on in the rest area because we police ourselves. Since we have moved in there, the crime rate has gone from an extreme high to almost non-existence on the corner of 4th and Burnside, as your records show. I'm here, as one lady testifies, she's got stage one bipolar. I'm a Desert Storm vet, stage two bipolar, PTSD, and a heart patient. They say we can't live together because of our illnesses. I'm sitting here before you as living proof we can. They say we can't look for work. We can't look for housing. We can't maintain ourselves. Well, our statistics show they're wrong. We have people that have maintained housing since they've been with us. They've gotten jobs. As Amber, my wife, has stated, we now have a godson. He's our newest member. They were members of Right to Dream 2 before they got housing, before they got a job, and before my godson was born. It can happen. It will continue to happen. Pearl District has nothing to worry about. We're human just like they are. We are compassion, and we're caring. As far as the vandalism and the damages, that ain't going to happen because we'll make sure of it. If people think my word is nothing, I will gladly step down from Right to Dream 2. And I will gladly go back on the streets where I was before Right to Dream 2 opened. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Hello. My name is Christopher Meisner. Right out the gate, I'd like to extend a thank you to Mayor Hale and Commissioner Fritz. The fact that you're giving us this shot to prove ourselves, I mean, to hopefully use this as a stepping stone to hopefully get more of a much-needed platform out there, more like it for houseless people to benefit themselves and help improve themselves on their own is awesome. I mean, it took a while for you guys to recognize that it's a much needed thing to have here in Portland.